Good morning. Welcome to Dayton Mennonite. We invite you to stand and worship with us this morning. First song, we sung this a couple weeks ago at Webb Park, but let's sing How Great Thou Art.
Yeah.
You may be seated.
Good morning. Welcome to our service at Dayton Mennonite. I love that last song, Worthy is the Lamb. And yet, as we were standing there singing that song, I thought how wonderful it will be when we're all standing around the throne of God singing Worthy is the Lamb together, every nation and kindred and tongue and people. For a devotional this morning, I'd like to read a few verses from Acts chapter 13. I'll actually be reading verses 1 through 3. And as I thought about our process of identifying an assistant pastor this week, my mind was immediately drawn to the scripture in the book of Acts, where a group of believers were met together, fasting and praying and worshiping. And a leader, actually two leaders, were identified through that process. Acts 13, 1 through 3. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, or Paul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said to them, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed again, they placed hands on them and sent them off. I personally love the simplicity that I see in the church as we read through the book of Acts. You don't see a lot of committees, long, well-written protocols, long interviews. But what we see is a group of believers where worship, fasting, and prayer are everyday occurrences. They're not something that's done in a time of desperation, but it was part of their everyday worship. That's how they lived. And it's fascinating to see how that all worked out. They lived with an expectation that the Holy Spirit would speak to them and that the Holy Spirit would move in their midst. And when the Spirit moved, they moved with the Spirit. They were obedient. They didn't sit around and say, "Did God really say this?" Or, "Is God really speaking to us?" Or, "Isn't he? How do I know this is the voice of God?" They were so in tune with God that when the Holy Spirit spoke, they moved with confidence. And I think there's a huge lesson for us, the church today. We have gotten so far, I'm not speaking just to this congregation, but the North American church in general has gotten so far from that. We have gotten so tied up in denominations and committees and protocols. I think sometimes we forget to listen for the voice of God. That still small voice that Scripture is plain. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he told the believers, "I must go so that the Spirit can come and be with you." It's my prayer that as we go through this process, that we will fast and pray and worship and listen for the voice of God. And when we hear the voice of God, we can move forwards with confidence. We don't have to sit around and wonder, is this the right person? But I truly believe that the Spirit is speaking to someone, calling to someone, whether it's in this congregation or someone we don't know about. I don't know the answer to that, but I firmly believe that God knows the answer to that. And if we were faithful and we fast and we pray and we listen to the Spirit, that will become obvious to each one of us. Our offering this morning is for Rosedale International. I'd like to invite the ushers to come forwards. Let's pray together. God, we thank you this morning for the beauty of this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be together and to worship you. And we pray that you would honor our worship today. We pray that your spirit would be in our midst. We thank you for Rosedale International and the work they do to share the gospel around the world. And we just pray, God, this morning that that you would bless those who are out on the mission field, as well as those who coordinate and send out. We ask now you would bless both the gift and the giver. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen.
In your Mennonite hymnal, please turn to number 9. Number 9, Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Thank you for your offerings. I have several announcements. Leon, you want to come up and share, please?
I don't mean to get the cart before the horse, but we don't meet here next Sunday, and a benefit for Brent and Sue is 3 weeks out last night, so it won't be one more Sunday before here. But I would just like to state that you as a church have responded greatly, but this is a time to show your face and show your support, too, at that benefit on September the 9th. The Mohill Small Group is putting together this, and we'd appreciate you all to, it will be no promotion other than through you all for this, as far as telling other folks about it. We appreciate that, too. Elva is taking a tally for anybody that's gifted to making fruit pies. We need fruit pies. Thank you.
Thanks, Leon. Just a reminder, most of you already know, Howland Retreat's coming up next weekend. Garland's are in Florida this weekend, but he sent me an email this morning. Just a reminder that It's coming down to the wire if you want to sign up for a camping spot cornhole tournament. And those of you that are bringing campers, if you have splitters, I think we'll need some. So, Nick, do you have any other announcements, anything I've missed? If you have questions, Nick and Kyra Shank are also coordinators. Seek them out after church. Another announcement, this was in the bulletin last week and this week. There is still a need for a WRE teacher in Rockingham County. And it's like, if there's anyone out there that likes kids ministry and you feel like God's calling you to this, it's a wonderful opportunity to be a missionary right here in Rockingham County in our own backyard. Are there other announcements from the floor? Sorry about that. Looking the other way.
Yeah, so the past 2 years, the youth group have been involved in leading and taking on the responsibility of the entire Highland service. And so we would like to continue doing that this year. So we will do the start all the way through the sermon, all that will be youth-led only. So please have us in your prayers as we are getting all this together, and hopefully it'll go smoothly. Skylar and Caleb will be the moderators. Amos and I will be having the sermon, followed by some others. Another thing is that's going on Saturday evening at 8:30, 8:45-ish, will be the youth talent show. So please come out, watch us, bring the children, the kids. They'll be involved a little bit, and hopefully it'll be a fun time. Thank you.
Thanks. Looking forward to it. Okay, this morning we're doing things a little different than we do some weeks. Micah wanted to close out the service this morning, so we will have our morning prayer now. And just a number of things that I wanted to touch on today. Certainly we continue to remember the assistant pastor process. Tomorrow evening, the ladies will be going into Rockingham County Jail to do the service, Carolyn Landis and Miriam Crider. Certainly all of us can remember school starting in the next week or so. I think several have already started, but let's remember the students and the teachers as well, particularly those in our public school system. I think of my sister-in-law, Helen, and many others. Christians who are teaching teachers' assistants in the public schools, and just really look at that as a mission field. And I think we need to remember them not only now, but throughout the year. Remember Ian and Arlene, who were married here yesterday as they began their married life together. And also Linda Tice moved into her new house yesterday. So happy for you, Linda. And last but not least, where's Willard Everly? I don't know how many of you saw it, but Willard celebrated an 80th birthday this week. So congratulations, Willard. It's quite a milestone. Okay, I invite you to stand with me as we pray together. God, this morning, it's so good to be here in your house, and we thank you for your love and your mercy, and we thank you that you sent your son Jesus as a ransom for each one of our sins. And just help us, God, to remember daily how much you love us and that we don't have to carry the burden and the weight of our sin, that we can give it to your son Jesus and live in freedom. We pray for the ladies tomorrow night, for Carolyn and Miriam, as they go into Rockingham County Jail. God, we pray for physical and spiritual protection. And we just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move in that service. We pray that even now you are preparing the hearts of the ladies that will attend that service, that they would be open to the seeds of the gospel that will be sown there. We think of schools and colleges and students that will be starting back up in the coming days and weeks. And we just pray, God, that even in the midst of a lot of darkness and a lot of secularism, we just pray, God, that the light of Jesus would shine forth from those who toil year after year in some of these institutions that may be very dark places. And yet, God, we believe that even there, your hand is at work and that your light can shine. We pray for the WRE program that it will also be starting up as school starts. And I think of Miriam Kreider and so many others who are giving their time and talents to teach these young children, to share the gospel with them. We just pray you would bless that ministry. We pray for Linda as she moves into her new house, and we just pray, God, your abundant blessing on that dwelling. We just pray it would be a place where Jesus is radiated to her neighbors and those around her as she comes in contact. Just bless her in abundantly as she moves into this new chapter of her life. We pray for Ian and Arlene as they begin their married life together. God, just touch them with your spirit. Bless their marriage and their family if they would have one. We pray now for our brother Micah as he comes momentarily to speak. We just pray, God, that he would be anointed with your Holy Spirit and that the words you would have for us would resonate this morning and that you would bless the remainder of the service. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Please turn to number 533 in the Mennonite hymnal again. Number 533. God of our strength.
God of our strength and
when I I want to greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. It is good to be with you. For some time now, for the last few months, I've been feeling like God has been stirring within me a message for this congregation. And I could be in the shower or I could be out on the four-wheeler, and the thoughts would come flowing through my mind of what I needed to hear. Typically, what I preach on is what I need to hear, what I need to be exhorted in, what God desires to work and do within me. And the sermon came very easily because I knew where I was struggling. I knew where I was becoming apathetic and knew where I was becoming weak. It was confirmed when Mike said, maybe a month ago, he said, man, I think that you should preach. The week before Highland, there's going to be a baptism there, a call to repentance for the church. And I thought, yes, that's exactly, it was a confirmation of what the Spirit was already doing within me. I thought, you know, this is what I have been thinking as well, that God is stirring within my own heart towards myself and for the church. Well, this past week, as I sat down to study and put onto paper what God desired to speak to me and to you, there was nothing there. Nothing. I would read the scriptures of repentance. I would read the scriptures of God's salvation for you and for me, calling us to come and follow him. And there was no power. There was no movement within my spirit towards what God has done and what God is doing in us and for us and has done in the past in sacrifice for us. I was out riding the four-wheeler. I was becoming so, this is on Wednesday, and I was thinking, God, I need to get up here and proclaim, but I've come from an empty well. I need to wake up. And it was instantly that my spirit, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me again, convicting me of sin, convicting me of those passions I had for your soul and for the soul of the congregation and those who sit here every Sunday. It is often to think of others when you hear a message preached. I'm guilty of it. I'm sure as you are as well. You think, man, if only this person was here to hear this message, or if only this would be preached in this church, it would transform their church. If they heard this message, they would be free of legalism, or they would be free of progressivism, or whatever. We need God to speak to them. Well, as I prepared this message is for me. This message is for you, those who are under the sound of my voice this morning. I am burdened for you. And you know what? It seems like a curse to feel burdened. But I desire that each one of you here would be burdened for those sitting beside you as well this morning. There is a weight that comes with being a part of a family of God, and the reality that not every single person that sits here this morning will be going to heaven. That the judgment of God will rain down on those that are here, sitting here this morning, should be heavy upon your mind and your heart this morning. I confess, I often fall into many of these same traps. But as God was revealing to me my own struggles and my own problems, and the heaviness I feel towards those here this morning that don't know him, I came to these thoughts. How can it be that there are those that sit here every single Sunday morning, hearing the scripture read, seeing God moving in those around them, but yet they walk out the doors completely unchanged, completely unsubmitting to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and leave unchanged, unmoved? How can that be? That they are completely asleep to the fact that they will go to judgment before an almighty God and be sent to hell as their reward. How can it be that there are those of us that sit here and claim the banner of Christ, claim to know him as our Lord and Savior? We believe that we have been saved and transformed into his likeness, but yet say, I can't speak about this Savior of mine. I'm too shy. and to say his name in public. I can't confess him as Lord of my life. I can't be baptized because I'm scared to come up here and say, Jesus died for my sins, and I am a sinner in need of a Savior. But yet I hear you and I see you passionately exclaiming about government problems, church problems. Those things don't come slowly. It's only the things of God that seem to not flow from your lips. When your conversations go to work, they go to family, they go towards your children, whatever it may be, your lips flow unbridled. But when the Spirit moves you to pray for someone, when the Spirit moves you to talk to your child about their lostness, when the Spirit moves you to speak to your friend, you are left unmotivated and powerless, but you claim to have the power of an almighty God living within you and claim that you are a new creation in him. How can it be that there are those here this morning that look so good on the outside and speak such good about Jesus Christ? You're making impact in this congregation. You're speaking truth. You're teaching Sunday school. You're doing children's ministries, whatever it may be, but yet your marriage is falling apart and empty. You are bitter towards your brother and sister in Christ. You have a critical spirit towards those who are of the body of Christ or are a slave to materialism. How can it be that you believe, that I believe, we are in the last days, but that does not change your life? How can you believe it's the end of time, that Jesus is coming back, and not be transformed into righteousness and righteous living and unmoved for those who will not go to heaven, that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and are headed for judgment? How can we as a church say that we want to make a difference? We believe that our culture is falling. We believe that we have walked away from Jesus Christ in America, but yet 40 people on a good day show up here to pray for our nation, to pray for each other. These realities should grieve you as you see those within yourself. Those realities should grieve me as I see those realities within my own life. It is time for me and you to repent of these spirits. It is time, if you do not know Jesus, to come to him today. As an American church, it's easy to preach. And I fall into this as well. It is easy to preach about the love of God. It is easy to preach here a message that will challenge you, but yet it also speaks to God's mercy and his grace and his love and his friendship for you. But scripture tells us in Hebrews 13 that God is the same yesterday as he is today. God does not change. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O children of Jacob, therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." It is easy for me and you to accept and believe in the blessings and the encouragement from Scripture. But this same God that sends those promises for you and for me is the same God who drove Adam and Eve out of the garden when they chose sin over relationship with him. It's the same God that flooded the earth, which was a lot of people, and kept one family who was righteous, but took out every other person on the face of the earth. It's the same God who wiped out cities because of their sinfulness. It was the same God who turned Lot's wife to salt as she looked back. We see throughout Kings a God who many times corrected and disciplined his people Israel and struck down thousands, if not millions of them, because of their unfaithfulness and their turning away from his commands and his calling for them to follow him. It's the same God that Romans tells us that he did not spare his own son, Jesus, but gave him up for us all. It's the same God in Revelation that we sang about this morning that is in heaven being worshiped, that you will bend your knee and worship. And he is beyond imagination. It's that same God. He never changes. Another thing that never changes is the sinful heart of you and me. Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, the two first created human beings, were told to stay away from a certain tree of knowledge. We don't know how long it was, but at some point, they chose the tree over intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Your heart and my heart is no different than theirs. It says in scriptures that all have sinned in Romans and fallen short of the glory of God, and that you and my our wages for that sin is death. You see, we have a problem. This is the same God, that God that I just spoke of, that wiped out many people, that judged the earth, that his anger would burn against them. That is the same God that you and I are going to be standing before when we meet him, when we die, or when he comes back. And you and I will be giving an account for our actions that we have done in the past, that we have done last night, and the actions that we will continue to do into the future. All will be laid bare before him. There will be nothing hidden before him, the King of Kings. Another thing that never changes is the way of salvation. Romans 5 says that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In chapter 6, it says, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. You and I, as we just talked about, have a sin problem. If you look back in your life and you don't see any sin, I got a Marco Polo from a good friend the other day, and their children were screaming in the background, and they didn't sound very happy. It was evidence that you and I are born with a sinful nature. Even if you're completely perfect today, you have lived under the curse and the burden of sin. In the Old Testament, God set up a way of looking forward to Christ through sacrifice of animals, that blood needed to be shed. The Israelites put blood on the doorpost of their home so that the angel of death would pass over. Jesus came and is the sacrifice once and for all, Hebrews tells us. He is the sacrifice and atonement for you and for me. I think if I came around here this morning and asked you, do you believe that? Most likely, every single person would say, yes, I believe that Jesus died for my sin. But you know what? That doesn't get us to heaven, knowing that. It takes action on your and my part to receive that act of salvation that God has extended to us. The question is, have you received him as that sacrifice? Have you declared him as Lord of your life? Have you been baptized as a symbol of that new way of life, that you have died to the old and are resurrected into the new? In the Revelations, it says, if anyone's name is not found written in the book of life, they will be thrown into the lake of fire. If you do not know Jesus here this morning, it is time for you to wake up. What will it take for you to submit to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Oftentimes, when I get to meet with people about baptism or their salvation story, it's not always this way, but it's often this way. That there is something, an event in their life that caused them to stop and reassess where they are in their life, what they're doing, whether it be partying, whether it be immorality, whether it be self-righteousness, whatever it may be. Typically, there's an event that happens. Sometimes I've heard of car wrecks that have turned people's lives to him. Sometimes I've heard of broken relationships that have turned to him. Sometimes I've heard of cancer diagnoses or health concerns that have turned people's lives to Jesus Christ. What is it going to take for you to accept Jesus Christ this morning? A thought came to me. If you need some kind of crazy event, a death of a friend, to turn your life around, how do you know that it's not your death that will turn somebody else's life around? Are you living a life that represents Jesus Christ? Will your death, your eternal judgment in hell, be what turns somebody else's life around? If you are waiting for one of your friends to die, for you to submit to Christ, I implore you this morning, it's time to wake up and be that change to your friends through your living life of righteousness for Jesus Christ. Romans says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. 1 John 3 says, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or has known him. It's easy to think of those people here that you have a burden for that don't know him. But if you are here this morning and you claim to know Jesus Christ as Lord, it is important that you ask yourselves these same questions as well. And don't just look at the people next to you and say, I hope that they're listening. Do you declare Jesus Christ as Lord of your life? Have you been baptized into a new way of life? If you have, your attitudes, your actions, your passions, even your personality should change to reflect that new way of life, that new creation that you have become. Repentance and belief are not past tense. You do not sit here this morning and say, I have repented of my sins in the past. I have believed in Jesus Christ. You say, I believe in Jesus Christ and I repent of my sin that I so often fall into. You see, the evidence that you are saved is repentance and a turning from sin. A Christian has a desire to conform to the things of God. There is a passion for godliness and purity. I was in bed last night. I got a turkey alarm in the middle of the night, which caused me to think of waking up, caused me to think of it's an emergency. There's a water problem down at my poultry house. But the thought came to me as I was laying down is that a lot of time spent of believers is not leading people to Jesus Christ. It's not spent or as a, let me rephrase it. A lot of time that is spent within this church, a lot of my time, is not relating with people that are saying, I am hungry for Jesus Christ. I desire to be conformed into him. I desire to be convicted by the word of God. A lot of my time is spent trying to convince you to be convicted and relating with people that are saying, I don't desire, I don't feel, I don't know, I don't care, whatever it may be. Instead of a heart that desires, if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, you will desire, you will pursue to be conformed into his likeness, not see what you can get away with and not go to hell. As it is written in 1 John 3, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or knows him. If you are a new creation and have been made new in Christ, you will look different and be different because you are different. You're new. You're in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Romans 6 says in verse 11, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in Christ, Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. The thought came to my mind of the seven churches that are written about in Revelation. I desire this church, the letter that will be written about Dayton Mennonite Church, to be one where God says, well done, good and faithful servant. That we wouldn't be found lukewarm, but that we would be found as people who believe in him, know him, proclaim him, are transformed by him. I want to be a part of a church like that. For a church to be like that means the people that are in the church will be like that. If you desire to be a church that is unified, that stands on the word of God, that holds high standards above the world, that is pure, that follows Jesus, that is a house of prayer, that is a witness to the world, you, as a person here this morning, as a believer in Jesus Christ, will be doing it. Because if you are like that, the church will be like that, because the church is nothing more than you and I as a body of Christ coming together. It's not a building. It's not me. It's not Mike. It's not the leadership team. It's not whoever you look up to in the church. It's you. This church's purity and passion depends on you. When the world comes through the doors in the back, what will they see here? Maybe a better question is, when the world comes in the doors of your life, what will they find there? In 1981, there was a man who stole a car. And the radio stations began to report on this stolen car. We need to find this car. We're looking for this car. Please look for the car. What had happened was, a man had stolen a car. In the front passenger seat of the car were some cookies. And those cookies, the person who owned the car had put rat bait in the cookies because they desired to kill the rats at their house. What was seen by the person who had stolen the car as judgment, he thought everybody was chasing them down to bring judgment upon him. He was running away from the law, when in reality, the police, the people, were calling on him to stop, not because they desired to bring judgment upon him, which probably would have come, consequences. They were desiring to stop him because they wanted him to live. They wanted him to be free of poison in his life. And that is the calling for you as a believer here this morning, who are stuck in sin, who are stuck in apathy, who are stuck in bondage in different ways. This is the calling for me to look for God's escape. God is not here to bring judgment. My words are not here to bring judgment, but to bring freedom and rescue for you this morning, whether you know him or whether you don't. I invite the worship team to come forward. I'm going to close by reading some scripture. And if God has spoken to you this morning, you find yourself in the camp of not knowing him. If you are planning on standing before God this morning, being judged on your own merit and not under the blood of Jesus Christ, I invite you to get out of the car that is running off the rails. Be saved this morning. Don't be, through your death, your unfaithfulness, your lostness, don't let that be your testimony. Let your testimony be of a life that has been transformed by Jesus Christ. Maybe you're also here this morning and you find yourself in those categories that I was challenged in as well this week, of apathy. Ones that sit here, look good on the outside, but yet we know are dark on the inside, that are lost. I invite you to come to the altar if you desire to be free of the burden of sin in your life. This is the word of God spoken through his scripture. John 3, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Acts 2, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 3, repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. 2 Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. John 14, Jesus said to them, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the heart of one who believes is justified, and the mouth of one who confesses is saved. Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not by your own doing. It is the gift of God and not a result of works, so that anyone may boast. 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Luke 13, now I tell you, unless you repent, you will all perish. And Isaiah 1, wash and make yourselves clean. Take the evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God, we invite your spirit to come speak. Father, you know our hearts. You know where we need you. We know, you know if we're saved, if we're not, what sins are taken care of, which ones are not. And I just come against any enemy that desires to bring sins that have already been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, that they wouldn't come to mind. But Lord, for those here where their sin hasn't been washed, or the saint that's here that has sin hidden in their life, would you please not allow your spirit to rest until those things are dealt with in our lives? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The worship team is going to sing a song, and if you have felt convicted by Jesus Christ this morning and his Holy Spirit and desire freedom in your life, I invite you to come forward, and someone will be here to pray for you as well. After they're done, consider yourselves dismissed.
Hungry, I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait. Offering all.
You are dismissed.